Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here. And we ask you, Lord, to be with us today. And may we really enjoy this word, for you seem to be revelating yourself more and more to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to look at, in St. Zene 232, God, the August Minister Meeting Questions. And so from South America, the Spanish-speaking brothers, they said, Reverend Brian Kasurka, bless you. After the earthquake in Russia last week and the tsunami warnings for the entire coast of South America, I can see that an earthquake of the same magnitude in Los Angeles, California, could greatly affect the entire coast of South America. In the message, Choosing of the Bride, the prophet said the following. That is a solemn warning. We do not know what at what time, and you do not know at what time, the city will one day be here at the bottom of the ocean. Now, I'd like to read you another quote, okay? Brother Brown said, from Who Do You Say This Is, in 1964, 1227, he said, I predict before the coming of the Lord Jesus that God will sink this place. So he's not going to sink it by a gas explosion or water events, overtaking the city. He's going to sink it through an earthquake, okay? In Isaiah 29 and 6, and he says the same, Brother Brown said, the same prophet told us, he's speaking of, referring to Isaiah 29 and 6, the same prophet told us of his first coming, seen his second coming. Notice, as in the days of the earthquake, see what the earthquakes are doing, see the predictions of them. So we know that the earthquake predictions are predicting the coming of the Lord, okay? Now, so the question remains, does it happen before the coming of the Lord? Well, Brother Bram said it does. And the other question is, well, or does it happen before the resurrection? Well, the answer is, I believe the great earthquake, as detailed by William Branham, will happen to show the resurrection is taking place. Now, does it come before the resurrection? I don't know. I would think that if there is any believers in California and the earthquake happens, that they'll be in the resurrection. So they're not going to be dead first and under a pile of water before the resurrection. So it may come after the resurrection. I don't know. I mean, if you look at Matthew 28, I think the great resurrection, maybe it's 27. But anyway, it says there was a great earthquake and then they rolled the stones open, okay? So, in other words, the first resurrection was ushered in by a great earthquake. So, is it possible that, well, Alpha is Omega, right? How many believe Alpha is Omega? All right, so it's going to happen, brother, sister, or God doesn't speak the truth when he says Alpha is Omega, okay? In other words, the first age, the last message, the first messenger and the last messenger, they've all got to repeat. So you see the details. Just look at Alpha and you know it's going to happen, Omega. All right, so just as when Jesus dies and resurrected, a great earthquake took place, understanding Alpha and Omega, I based my conclusions, okay? Does that mean the rapture happens right then? No, I didn't say the rapture. Now, Brother Vail might have mentioned the rapture in one tape my brother mentioned to me, but he's also mentions the resurrection. So I think what you're looking at is, you know, people kind of lump the resurrection and rapture together because, let's face it, when we're in the resurrection, I kind of wonder if, I don't think it'll be in this dimension. And so, in a sense, it could be in this dimension, but the rapture is at the end of the resurrection, okay? So you could say, in a sense, it is at the rapture time, because he that's filthy is going to be filthy still, and he that's righteous is going to be righteous still. So, but anyway, so he wasn't wrong when he said that. He's just, you know, looking at a time frame, and if the time frame is here, and you're looking at the end of the time frame here, or... Well, I guess you would be looking at the beginning and the if you're looking at the end of the resurrection season, that's the rapture. I mean, that's the catching away in the rapture. So, yes. All right. So it's a sign of the resurrection. Now, remember, the resurrection should be 40 days or so. So within that 40 days, not only do you see the California go down, but we're not going to see it. I mean, I don't believe we will, but anyway, that is based on Alpha repeating in Omega, okay? Never forget, we have already witnessed the Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ in Omega, and that was not just the pre-resurrection ministry of Jesus repeating, but it also included the post-resurrection ministry that will take place. Just as Jesus had a post-resurrection ministry that changed their lives from men who were cowards to men of unresolved faith to live or die in this faith. Now, in Matthew 28 and 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." The word great is mega, okay? That word great there is mega, all right? So notice there was a great earthquake. It was a mega earthquake. Well, that's what it takes when it's going to be 9 or 10 on the Richter scale. Question 2, does a fulfillment of the seventh major vision, in which the prophet saw a terrible explosion and ruin, craters and smoke over the land of America, happen before or after the rapture? Well, if it happens before the rapture, then, hey, we're gone. But the prophet said not one bomb would drop before the rapture. So the answer is, I believe the total destruction as in the seventh vision will occur after we are gone, according to what the prophet told us. Now remember, God destroyed the earth the first time with water, correct? But the water didn't start until Noah was in the ark, okay? So it's not going to happen if God's the same. Now, if God changes, you know, well, then I tell you what, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring us. But God doesn't change, so we do know, okay? So from sign of the time, the Bible teaches that the church will be raptured before the tribulation. You know that. Everybody knows that. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, isn't it interesting that he said both Noah and Lot? Because Lot also was taken out before the bombs dropped, right? Or I won't say bombs, but the hail and brimstone, okay? In the days of Noah, not one drop of water fell from heaven till Noah went into the ark. And in the days of Lot, not one bit of fire fell from heaven till Lot got out of Sodom. And not one bomb can drop until he blessed his blessed church, be resurrected and taken in the rapture to see her Lord. Notice, resurrected and taken in the rapture. Okay, that's at the end of the resurrection. And if destruction is this close, how close is the coming of the Lord? It has to happen before the destruction and annihilation. It has to happen. Can you see the handwriting on the wall? Here we are, the handwriting in the sky. Ichabod on the church, the Spirit of the Lord has departed. Where are we standing? What's the matter? This is a horrible time. All right, so then question and answers, he says, where is that one that's going to sow that seed for that end time church? Where is that ripening seed that promised Elijah? And immediately after his day shall the tribulation set in and burn the earth. So it's going to happen after Malachi 4, after the pre-resurrection ministry of Malachi 4. And then at the return of the church and the bride of Christ shall walk out upon the ashes in the millennium when the earth is purified by fire, and there they shall reign. And the heathen that never heard the gospel shall be raised in that time, and sons of God will be manifested. If he's to reign, he's got to have something to reign over. He's got to have a domain. And they ruled and reigned with Christ, and Christ ruled with a rod of iron the nations. Then the gospel, then the manifested sons of God with the authority just like he had when he was here. See, there will come the millennium in that reign, see, upon the ashes. Now don't get mixed up Brother Branham's vision of the destruction of the USA and then the destruction of the Vatican with Armageddon and the destruction of the world. It's very important that you can separate those events, okay? Peter talks about the annihilation of the earth. In 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and also that are therein shall be burned up. So that's the total destruction of everything. The earth, all the people that are therein, even the heavens, okay, even the elements above us. But Russia must first destroy the USA to get rid of any opposition to what it will do in Israel. Russian teams have found the source of adrenochrome, which is found in the blood of children. They have found enough in one shipment that is estimated to come to 10,000 children. Putin has vowed to destroy everyone who was on the shipping manifest list. That means he promised to cancel out each one. He is said to have wept when this was discovered and made that promise that they will not go unpunished. He also said this is a spiritual war. So there's his motivation for the bombs, okay? Thus, he will target the USA, which has proven to house the most evil, wealthy men. The USA will be targeted in order to be able to come against Israel. Then once Armageddon starts, I think he will also target the Vatican, which is the source of all this evil. But I'm not a prophet, so I'm not sure the timing of that. We're not going to be here for it anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I think he does that at the time of Armageddon. In other words, he takes out, at Armageddon, he also lets them all fly at one time, and he hits the Vatican. After the tribulation has come and gone, and the two servants of God have been killed by Israel, we are told the 144,000 are hunted down and killed also at this time. And I think this is when Israel has its tribulation time. These were the true followers of the two witnesses. So Putin swore he will punish Israel for the adrenochrome, but after the two witnesses are killed, he will come down with the whole world to punish Israel. You got to remember one thing. You know, American evangelicals are fooled, okay? They say, well, he that blesses Israel will be blessed. Well, listen, who is Israel? Paul said not all that say they're Israel are Israel, okay? And Brother Branham also said not all that claim to be Christians are Christians, okay? So there's 144,000 God is protecting. But he could care less about the government of Israel. He could care less about the politics of Israel, okay? He didn't like it in the days of Jeremiah. He didn't like it in the days of Isaiah. He didn't like it for many prophets in Daniel's day, okay? God doesn't care for what man has to say any bit more than it's either thus saith the Lord or forget it. It's either eternal words that were in the mind of God before the foundations of the world that will be acted out or just forget it. It doesn't make any difference, okay? So I don't know the order of events, but you can see the motivation. It is not the first time God used a king of the north to punish Israel. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So God used Nebuchadnezzar. He was a king of the north in that day. And now the king of the north is Russia. You see how God, you get the same, if you understand how God works, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he changes not, then you can say, well, if he did this then, he's going to do it again, okay? So we are chastened by the word of God, Peter says. Then God takes us out before the chastening of the world by fire. I don't believe he will allow the third temple to be constructed by this heathen men that rule Israel. It will be built in the millennium. I have quotes about the temple here. So I don't care how many red heifers they come up with. I don't care. They're not going to do it. And I'm going to show you. From the sixfold purpose of Daniel, Gabriel's visit to Daniel, Brother Branham said, now watch. The description of the temple that is to be built in the millennium. Now, any reader that knows that from Ezekiel, the 44th chapter, is nothing in the world but the millennium temple being erected on earth. Anyone knows that, see? When the glory of the Lord fills it and so forth, like that. Again, he says, what is it? His people had just crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming back to his holy temple, anointed with the presence of God to live and reign through the millennium with his church. Amen. The appearing with the mighty king to take her place at this side, the new royal anointed temple. Now, the sixth purpose of purpose, Revelations 6 and 1 to Daniel 19, 20, 21 is fulfilled. Now, listen. So here's a short explanation of the events that are to happen. Someone asked Brother Branham a question about it. From question and answer, he said, the church age ending and has blacked out. The bride is called. We have already entered into the tribulation period. He said, no. I wish I could just have more time on that, Cece. The bride, when she's taken from the earth, then the church age will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos, and the bride goes to glory. So when the Holy Ghost, who's withholding all things now, is taken out from the midst of humanity with the bride, then all chaos begins, okay? So then he goes on to tell us what will what happens when we are gone. And the tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin for 3.5 years while Israel is getting its prophecy. Then tribulation sets in upon Israel. And then comes the battle of Armageddon, which destroys all things. So see, first comes the tribulation period, okay? Then Armageddon, which destroys all things. That is the destruction of the earth that we see in 2 Peter 3 and 10. Now remember, once the bride is gone, she is judged by the word. Notice, judgment begins at the house of the Lord, and if it first begins with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So those that are left behind. All right. Now, again from the sixth seal, Brother Brown said, and while the tribulation is falling, there comes two prophets of Revelation 11 to preach the gospel to them. And they preach 1,103 days. See, can anybody give me the math on how many years it is? It's just 3.5 years. So the entire tribulation period, they'll be preaching. Then at the end of the tribulation period, they get killed. And then Russia comes down, and there's an Armageddon, and the Vatican, everything's destroyed, okay? Well, that's exactly with 30 days in a month, like the real calendar has, is exactly 3.5 years. That's Daniel's 70 weeks, part of the 70th week. See, God hasn't dealt with Israel, okay? Now back to question and answers. He said, and then the bride returns back with the groom for 1,000 years, and then the millennium reign. Now, I don't know how long we'll be in that. I know we're there at the wedding supper 3.5 years, but I don't know if there's a period of time between the wedding supper and our coming back. He doesn't tell us. But I know that the earth has got to grow back over again. Now, I don't think it'll take. I mean, you can look at Russia right now and around Chernobyl, and there's all kinds of wildlife and things growing. So I don't know if it'll take that long to grow back, right? But it'll take some time. After that comes the white throne judgment. When's that? At the end of the millennium. When the whole world is raised in a general resurrection, after it is done, they rebel against the encampment of the Lord and his bride, and God destroys them all with fire again. See, that's why you've got to get rid of this evil purge period. God's got to burn it by fire. But even when he burns by fire, their souls, you know, and their bodies actually are raised back up again, and they're just the same old serpent seed that they were that went down. They don't get, oh, I'm saved now, bless God, he cleansed me by fire. No, he burned you by fire. Okay? He cleanses the earth, and he burns all of them up, okay? Then Brother Bram continues the explanation of events. He said, after that comes a new heavens and the new earth and the new city coming down from God out of heaven. Eternity and time blends together. Now, I'd just like to make this also, and I think I made it in a couple of months ago. But in Revelation, at the end of Revelation, the Bible says when God raises up, there's a general resurrection before the white throne. And then God has a white throne, and at the end of the white throne, all the people that were raised up, not all of them, because maybe there'd be some like goats that were, or some sheep that were given life. But the rest of them, we're sick and tired of this bride, you know, so-called bride. They're always winning favor with God. We're just going to come down and destroy them. And God says, no, you won't. God fights our battle. We don't even have to get involved. You know, I always wanted to be not a captain, but a lieutenant, you know, in the army of the Lord and stand there with Jesus, you know, and fight the devil. I'm not going to have a chance. I'm doing it this side. Okay? So we'll have to do it on this side. But anyway, so much for dreams, you know. Dreams are nice, but sometimes they're not all real. All right. So beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation. Now, at this time, he said, and that wasn't a dream like I had a dream. It was just a dream, you know, like I had a desire. Okay. But anyway, he said, at that time, the 12th chapter. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince that standeth for the children of the people. And there shall be a time of troubles such as never since there was a nation ever to that time. So that's talking about tribulation. Now remember, there's been tribulations in the earth. There's been, you know, in days of Joseph, there was a famine. There's a tribulation in different countries when they're sieged, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the whole world, okay? And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, and every one that shall be found written in the book. Oh my, aren't you glad your name is in the book? Now, next week, you're going to really shout. Just think about that. Aren't you glad your name is in the book? I'll just say this. You were in the book before the foundations of the world. Not the whole book, because the whole book was Christ. But you had a sentence in there, you had a paragraph in there, or even a chapter. But you're part of the book. And that's the life of God, part of God's life, okay? So, aren't you glad your name is on the book, okay? When Daniel over here saw him coming to the Ancient of Days, whose hair was as white as wool, and he opened the books, and they were judged, every man out of the book. And the great white throne judgment, 32. Now Daniel is given this assurance that at the end of the Gentile dispensation, now read that when you get home tonight, read chapter 11, you can see how the king of the north is coming down, which is nothing else but Russia, coming down to press against it like a whirlwind. Now remember, God judged Israel by the king of the north in their day. All right, and he dispersed them. He took them out and brought them to Babylon. Oh, this hour, Russia is going to come down, all right? And the great battle of Armageddon will be fought right there near the gates of Jerusalem. Oh, notice how I love this. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that's been found written in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Michael, the great prince, shall stand up for what? For thy people, all right? And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. When the times take place, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contentment. Just as sure as there's everlasting life, there's an everlasting departure. It determines on how you treat Jesus Christ in your life. If you love him and are born again and got his spirit, you've got everlasting life. If you don't, you have not everlasting life. So I'll ask you the question. Do you love him? Amen. Amen. Are you born again?
Amen.
Amen. You got his spirit? Amen. Then you've got everlasting life. If your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life, you have immortal life. If it's not written there, you'll not be recognized. What is it? All these prophecies are fulfilled, everything right down to this time. From the fourth seal. Now the battle started in heaven, and it'll be finished on earth in the form of Armageddon. So that's it. That's the end of it. Now, remember, it started in heaven with Lucifer. All right. Now, I'm not Democrat or Republican. I'm a Christian. So I don't know, I don't mention these things, but I picked up an old book there that the Lord had given me in a vision in 1933 when I just first become a minister going down to the Baptist Tabernacle. And he gave me a vision that morning, and I seen the first one I remember of an international affair. And I seen that President Roosevelt that was in, and seen that we'd go to World War. Then I seen also, that was 11 years before the Maginot Line was built, and I seen Germany fortify themselves in this big concrete place. I also seen they permitted women to vote, which was wrong. And said they would someday elect the wrong man, and they just did it. So then I seen the end time coming. Seven things I saw, but five of them has already come to pass. I seen a powerful woman stand up in the United States. You can write that down if you do. It's going to happen. I don't know. She's on her road now, exactly, and she's took over. And she took over, okay? So I saw her that she's going to take over. All right, so here's a picture that I have up here. Now, it's not the one I wanted. I think you've all seen the picture. It was a pamphlet years ago, floating around the message. And it actually showed the diagram, or not diagram, but the in the literature for the World Fair of 1939, it showed a car with people playing chess. Okay, they were facing each other. Well, this is a man facing a woman. So, you know, as close as I can come up with it. But I searched all over and I couldn't find it. But I know I've seen it, and many of you have seen it. So five were already completed. That includes the fifth being the automated cars, which we see robo-taxis without drivers. But in 1939 World's Fair, they had one on display. They didn't have the car on display. They had the concept on display. But it was conceptualized back then. But really was not made public until now. I can't find the illustration, but you know what I'm talking about, okay? According to Wikipedia, experiments have been conducted on self-driving cars since 1939. So experiments already taking place at that time. Promising trials took place in the 1950s, and work has proceeded since then. So William Branham was correct that five of the visions had already taken place by then, and the sixth vision was a woman in purple who would become either president or vice president or some very powerful woman. Now, I remember years ago, I think in the 80s, there was actually a few chosen cities that they had kind of like magnetic markers in the city. Almost like rails, but, you know, they were magnetic markers. And cars, they had some cars that could drive without people driving them because they were based on the magnetics. But today they have it by GPS. So, you know, it's very, very fine-tuned, okay? So it's going to happen. But that sixth vision was a woman in purple, all right? And, of course, we know that's already happened. Now, from that time, in 1933, this is a woman's nation. It's the number 13. It appears in the 13th chapter of Revelation, 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13. Everything's 13. Everything's a woman. And remember, thus saith the Lord, there will be a woman rule before the end time. Now, when did he see that vision? 33. When did God have the vision? Before the foundations of the world, okay? She'll either be president, vice president, or it'll be the Catholic Church as a woman. I've seen her. A great woman the nation bowed to. It'll be one before the end of time, thus saith the Lord. Write it down and find out, you young people. See if it happens. If it isn't, then I'm a false prophet. Now, by faith, Moses, he said, and all these things has hit, just the two things left. And one of these great prophecies, that is for cars to be on the road with remote controls, looking like an egg, only you don't drive it, it controls itself. Now, I've heard people talking about, they've had as many as eight different times they've used a robo-taxi. and that was a taxi that drove them to their place that they wanted to go, and they had no incidents. So, in other words, they're really perfecting it. They actually drive probably better than most people do, and without incident, okay? And then there'll be a great woman rise up, because America is a woman's nation. And a great woman will rise up and be president or something like that in the nation. And then there will come a total annihilation. The entire nation will be wiped out. So, sixth vision is the woman. It's already taking place. What remains? Seventh. In other words, hey, we're running out of time. Okay? And that I predict now. This is not the Lord saying this. The other about the woman and this. This is the Lord. And that I predict now. This is not the Lord saying this. The other woman. Excuse me. Okay, that's repeating. Well, anyway. In fact, Hillary Clinton. You see her in the first picture with Bill at his inauguration. Then Michelle Obama was in a deep purple. She actually has another one where she wears purple. Then Jill Biden, okay? Then Kamala Harris. All wore purple on Inauguration Day because purple is a sign of royalty. So they're trying to tell the elites, hey, we're kings too, all right? We're royalty too, just like you, all right? This definitely showed that the sixth vision was fulfilled as these women all ruled and the world, they ruled America and the world for that matter, sending their filth abroad. Like all the perversions they sent overseas. Then after the women ruled, as we have witnessed since Biden stole the election, then we come to the seventh vision. You say, Jill Biden was only the president's wife. She didn't rule. Yes, she did. He was not in his fit mind to rule. He didn't even know when to get up. They said he got up about 4 and went back to sleep about 7 or something. I don't know. Pretty sad condition. And then I see the United States just like something that burnt it over, hit it. And just something blowed up the rocks and things. Now, this happens after we're gone home, for the prophet said no bomb would strike until we are all gone in the rapture, as I have already discussed earlier. From God's provided a way, he says, even now, till the science is claiming that the earth is bulging out in the middle, all right? So what happens when it quits bulging? The world is just, I mean, there won't be an East Coast, all right? Brother Brown said there won't be a Florida, you know? From end time scenes, we showed you that there's going to be many places. The mountains will be laid low and everything else. And so it's going to be disastrous, people. I just wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes in it. I wouldn't want to spend 1 second in it, okay? So from God's provided way, he says, even now, till the science is claiming that the earth is bulging out in the middle. You've seen that there the other day and heard them talking about it, the waters in the north has went down so many feet in the middle of the earth, rather, and getting deeper in the north and in the south because the earth is a bulging out. So what does that mean? It means that places like England, where you might have some cliffs that are 20 feet tall, are going to be underwater. Now, the sun doesn't go around its orbit like it used to, he says. Everything is indicating that the coming of the Lord, we're right at the door. And remember, before one of those bombs can drop, don't forget this. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And before Noah and before any rain fell, Noah was in the ark. Before any fire fell on Sodom, Lot was outside. And before one bomb can strike at the church, we'll be home in glory, gone in. Be sure then. Of this, just to think, friends, if it's that close, how much closer is the coming of the Lord? Because the Lord comes before that happens. Now, third question, will Russia drop an atomic bomb on the United States? Well, the answer, I mentioned this in one of my last question and answers recently, that Peter talks of the earth will pass away with a loud noise and great heat. But that is what the prophet said. And it looks like Medvedev, the number 2 man in Russia, used to be the number 1. He stepped down and Putin took over. But he's the number two man in Russia, and he made that very clear last week. He said, we're going to destroy the U.S. by nuclear, okay? Now, from the world's falling apart, he says, what if God looked today? Now look at Russia. Russia's crying for a Messiah. You know, Russia looks like, on the outside, more Christian than the United States looks like. But that's not the Messiah they're looking for. They want somebody, a scientific genius, who can take them to the moon before the United States gets started, certainly. All the rest of the nations are looking for it. They want a scientific genius that'll run them over to the moon, can invent some kind of a bomb that'll take off, knock off our hydrogen bombs and stop them, and can take their own bombs and rain it upon everybody before anybody else gets a start. And then they take the whole world over. That's the kind of Messiah that Russia's looking for. So we have three things here. Number one, Russia will create a bomb that will destroy all others. They have the Sarmat missile, which is named the Satan II missile, which I've talked about before. It can destroy the size of Texas or France. Three of them would destroy the United States completely. They call it the Satan II, all right? So I don't know what kind of a Messiah they're looking for, but the god of this evil age is most likely. They have developed a hypersonic missile that can fly so fast that it will destroy other nations before they have time that they can react. That is the hypersonic Satan II. And they want to control the world. So let's look at what Medvedev said. Now, from The Hill, which is a website, we see the article, Trump rips Russia's Medvedev over nuclear remarks. And then he parks two nuclear subs off the European coast. So you can see that the stage is all set. And in the Russian file, we see an article says, facing stalemate, Putin talks up nuclear weapons use and supporting foes of the West, Trump sends nukes. In other news lately, July, we are told, in late July 2025, just what, last week, the United States reportedly sent B-61-12 thermonuclear gravity bombs to RFK Lankenforth in Suffolk, UK, marking the first employment of U.S. nuclear weapons on British soil since 2008. This move coincided with President Donald Trump's 50-day ultimatum to Russian President Vladimir Putin to cease the war in Ukraine, which has been largely ignored. So the stage is set for World War III. So are you ready to take your flight? Question four. In what order do these three events occur? Los Angeles earthquake, a terrible explosion and ruins and craters and smoke all over the land of America, and Russia drops an atomic bomb on the United States. Is the Los Angeles, California earthquake the resurrection earthquake? I've answered all five questions already in this Q&A, and also in months ago. So I'm not going to answer that because it should be very apparent that you can't do one before the other, all right? Now, from African French-speaking brothers, and this is by Eduardo Torres sent them from the brothers down there, and then from the African-speaking brothers, they said, may God bless you, Brother Brian. These following questions deal with the adoption. All right. So the position in Christ, he says, for you haven't received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you have received the spirit of congregation, says adoption. Now, after you're adopted, you're placed. Then you understand, after the ceremony said, and you've been placed in the body correctly. You're a son, sure, a daughter. When you're born again, that's your birth. Now you're positionally placed. So the question is, what does he exactly mean by positionally placed? Well, first of all, there isn't even a word positionally. There is one unpositionally. I don't know why the dictionary doesn't have positionally, because we all use it. But anyway, the answer is, to be positionally placed means that when you are aware of what God wants you to be, If you are in a fivefold ministry, it means to be doing what God has called you to be doing. If you're a laity, it means to be at your post of duty and living like a person who is ready for adoption. It's really that simple. So when you believe God's word and have thrown out your own ideas, and you say, and says, what has been will be ready to be, let me just start over. When you've done all you can do to stand, just stand, okay? In other words, you're ready for the adoption. You're ready for the body change. When you do these things, like when a preacher's preaching, he's positionally placed, okay? When a housewife is doing a work of a housewife, she's positionally placed, all right? So, positionally placed then comes before the change. Now, from position in Christ, Brother Bram said, is that right? Now, waiting. God trying to place his church in position to manifest himself, getting one that he can work through, like he says, there's my spirit flowing freely. There it is. I can work here. Get another one over here and place him. I can place him. Adoption. Placing. Manifesting. Take him out here and put a ceremony on him. Visit him with an angel. Tell him something. Now, if he's told the truth, all right? So question 7, adoption, placing, manifesting. Are these three words mean the same thing, or is it about a process of a son of God he's supposed to go through? Well, my answer is I don't mean to get simple, but yes, all three are speaking of the same thing. What is adoption? It takes place when the son is properly in his place and obedient to his father. Let me just say that again. Adoption takes place, that's the change of the body, as Paul said. It takes place when the son is properly in his place and obedient to his father. What does manifesting have to do with that? It means that there is a visible representation that you are obedient and ready to be placed or adopted. From hearing him, Brother Bram said, then what happens in that case? If that child was disobedient, he was a son, but not saying that you won't be saved, but if you're born again, you got salvation, got eternal life, you go to heaven. But what you're missing here, if you're disobedient, God might have to take you early. Many things might happen to you, okay? In other words, you've got to be the right kind of a son, which means you're positionally placed. You're doing what you're supposed to do. If I hire a man to do a certain task and he decides, well, you know what, I got a better idea, I'm going to do this task, I'd fire the man, okay? Just like Trump is known for firing a lot of people because they're not doing what they were meant to do. Like the woman that was in charge of labor statistics, she was hired by Biden, and she was changing the statistics to make the economy look bad. Trump found out, and he fired her. Good for him. You know, there's a lot of things a man's doing, so I thank the Lord for it. Does that mean he's saved? I don't know. You know, only God knows who's saved, okay? Question number 8. Please explain how someone can be born again without growing up to a maturity while God's life already being in you. Remember, I've mentioned this many, many times. When you're born again, you're a baby, okay? You're a baby in Christ. You got questions. You don't know how to do this. You don't even know how to walk as a Christian, like a baby doesn't know how to walk. You know, so you got to start crawling, okay? Then you start walking. Then you grow up and do, you know, grown-up things, okay? That's just being a child. But when you're positionally placed, you know, you're doing everything the Father can do because you want to take over, okay? And you want to be in the place that he has confidence in you to do what you're going to do. So as he quoted in Return in Jubilee, before I could act as a human, before I could walk like a human, before I could talk like a human, I have to be born a human. That's the first thing, all right? How would a knot on a tree know how I acted? How could I ever say, I don't act like that? The only thing he could be that would be is to be born like me, all right? That's the way organization is dead, drawn people away because it went after a creed. But in order to be a son of God, you've got to be born of the Spirit of God. Then you become Christ-like and do the works of Christ. You see why John 14:12 is so important. Are this category of people being foolish virgin? Well, Brother Bram, okay, so the answer is, Brother Bram said, when you're born again, you are like any other thing that is born. You are a baby. But when, as all sons, you must grow up into him in all things. That's what Paul says. You are placed under tutors and governors until you are ready to be placed, and then you will be adopted once you've been placed. So, now, how long are you placed? I don't know. Some people have a ministry. Brother Bram had 33 years. All right? Some people have 20. Some people have 10. Some people are placed, you know, for a short, very short time. But when they're placed, they're placed. They're mature. Okay? They're ready for adoption. So you are placed under tutors and governors until you are ready to be placed, and then you will be adopted. You, as Jesus, who is our pattern, must learn obedience by the things which he suffered. God gives you some trials, you're suffering, right? What are you doing? You're learning obedience to his word, all right? You're beginning to say what God said, not what the facts or the, or I'm not what the, what the circumstances show. Circumstances show your legs are all puffy and you got, you know, your ankles are thick, and they're sore when you walk on them. And your Bible says walk anyway because God's healed you. All right? I remember my grandmother, 69 years old when she died. At 67, she was weeding underneath the house. And she wedged her hip in there and broke it. So her daughters, which were all in their 40s and 50s, they said, Mother, what were you doing weeding underneath your house? And she said, the minute I die, that's the minute I'm going to go. And you know what? She was laid up for 2 years with her hip problem, got stomach cancer, and died. She was right. The minute she stopped, that's the minute she went. So you sisters, just keep going. Don't let nothing stop you. Now remember, he promised in the book of Hebrews that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He promised also in the book of St. John. The 14th chapter of St. John, the 12th verse, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, the things that I have, things that I live. Now, that the Father lives in me, as me, being the Son of God, as I adopt you, my spirit will be in you and do the same things, okay? So it's no question that if John 14:12 is evident in your life, then you are positionally placed. You're doing what he wants you to do. Question 9. What is the link between adoption and John 14:12, as you quoted as well? And how are you going to conform to his image and be ready for adoption and placing? And how are you going to manifest as a son of God without John 14:12? And so the answer is John 14:12 in your life is the very manifestation that you have totally become dependent on God, showing you what to do and say before you do and say it. Now remember, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And I think that you ought to know if it's God or not. Because I think if you're not proud, you're going to say, wow, I said that. No, it wasn't I, it was God. God said that. God did that. I couldn't have done those things. It's God, okay? So just let go and let God guide your every speech and action, and you will be placed. Now, Brother Vail said in his sermon, Revelation chapter 5, part 1, bruised serpent. We are waiting for the fullness of the adoption. This will take place when? At the first resurrection. That's when our bodies will be changed from these vile creatures that we are, and will have a body like his own glorious body. For we shall see him as he is, and we will be like him when he appears. We appear in his likeness. So question number 10. Is there a difference between the fullness of the adoption and the simple adoption? Well, you know, brothers, let's just not nitpick, okay? Adoption's adoption, whether it's the first part of adoption or the second part or the last part of adoption. Whether it's just started or whether you've had your body changed for 3 years, it doesn't matter, it's adoption, okay? Which I believe is the placing of sons in this side of eternity. Well, the adoption is not the placing of sons. Adoption is the fulfillment, the fulfilling of the placement. You've been placed, you're acting like a son of God, and God says, hey, you come up with me, you're going to be a son, okay? So what is the difference between the fullness of the bride and the fullness of adoption? Answer 10. First of all, let me say that Brother Vail is referring to what Paul said in Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, Paul said it, Brother Branham said, I only preach what Paul preached, so he had to say the same thing. So we have two things here. First, the first fruits, which is the new birth, becoming a son by the new birth. Then we have growing up as sons. John 14:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. The word, excuse me, John 1:12. The word there gave them power. That word is exousia, and that's the ability to make a right decision. So now that you've received the Holy Ghost, you have this ability that comes with it to become what God has ordained for you to become. God saw you back here before the foundations of the world, what you become up here. It's no different with God. What he saw then and what he saw there is going to be the same thing. Just this one is manifested. This one hasn't been manifested yet. But God saw it just like a designer designs a car, and it's exactly what he designed, okay? So, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, then notice he says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. In other words, it doesn't matter if the father decided to have a child or if the rapist forces his will on the woman, okay? But you're not born of that. It's born of God, all right? So you're not born of doctrine, nor of creed, nor of church affiliation, nor because someone tells you, but you are born by God. First of all, we are commanded by Jesus Christ to be born of God, which means by his Spirit. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we have shown many, many times that to see the kingdom of God, he is saying that you must be able to understand it. See means to understand. Brother Branham said that at least five other times that I know. It shall be even as I told me, okay? He said, now, no matter what it looks like here, we don't look at what we see. Remember that quote this morning? We don't look at what we see. We look at what we do not see. Is that right? Anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, better listen up. He can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See, you have to accept it by faith. And then when he comes into you, you understand it. You accept healing the same way. Stay right with it. Not what you look at, but what you believe, not what you believe, but what you understand to be the truth. What you're looking at, the unseen, then stay with it. That's why all these visions. I just lay my life right away, on a way, and for it never fails. And I have faith in it, and I believe it. If I can get you to believe the same thing, it's over then, see? So Brother Bram has a vision. He sees it. You haven't got the vision. But he did. But you know what? You see it because you understand it. You get it? Okay. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Because how are you going to enter into what you cannot see? That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. In John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So then we must know how we are born again. And he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it come whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I just don't know how. Now I can imagine that there's some things that happened in my life. I can point to that time, but I really don't know how, because you're born by the Word. Birth is invisible. If you take a plant and extract I challenge you. Take an onion. Peel it back layer by layer, if you can make it. Until you get down to the finest little thing in there, and then keep peeling, and you won't find life, because life's invisible. And you won't make it that far, probably. All right. So Nicodemus answered unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do, or which we know, and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So it is very apparent that to be born from above, to speaking of heavenly things, and it is evidenced by being able to understand the things of God. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before unto our glory, our doxa, our opinions, values, and judgment. He ordained it for our doxa, see? Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So you are not going to understand the things of God naturally, by the natural mind, all right, by natural intelligence. But God hath revealed them unto us. God didn't reveal them by William Branham. He didn't. He doesn't reveal to you from me or from Lee Vail. You could sit under Brother Vail all day long, cling to him as some type of special vessel, and go to hell. Even Brother Vail said 35 times. He said, if you say you got to listen to Lee Vail to make it, he said, you're lost. Why do we say that? Because our words can help you to have a mental understanding, but until the Holy Spirit anoints it and drops it down into your heart, it's nothing. For what man knoweth... Okay, so he says, but God hath revealed them. God hath revealed them unto us. He made known by unveiling them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit, God's Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That's why women don't understand men. All right? I mean, I'm just joking, but all right. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the purpose of the new birth is to know. It is to understand the things of God. It is the exousia power of God in us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So it is impossible for a person who is not born again to know or understand the things of God. So don't even try, you know, after two admonitions, just reject. That doesn't mean, you know, you put your nose up in the air because it's going to, if it rains, you're going to drown, Brother Branham said. But you just walk away. Don't get caught up into confrontations with people. But he that is spirit-filled judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, but that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So then, besides understanding, what else will manifest in the life of a spirit-filled man? In 1 John 5 and 1 says, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, you're going to love all believers. Now, I'm not saying you're going to love all men, but you're going to love, it says, all that have been begotten of him. All right? Now, he won't commit acts of unbelief for another. In other words, someone says, well, I'll give you $50 if you do this for me. Well, it's wrong. Well, I'll give you $100. Okay, $100, I'll do it. That's wrong. All right? And a person born again won't do that. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Sin is unbelief. For his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot disbelieve because he's born of God. And because God keepeth him, he cannot disbelieve. 1 John 5:18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, disbelieve not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And therefore, because he believes only in God's word, he overcomes what anything else tries to put over on him. In 1 John 5 and 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, even our revelation. What's the revelation? Remember, the Bible says that we live by the faith of the Son of God. Well, then we live by the revelation of the Son of God. Well, what was his revelation? I'm the Son of God. What's your revelation? I'm a son of God. Okay? 1 John 4 and 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And finally, we see that the conduit of the Spirit that gives us, that God gives us new birth with. In 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of, what's the seed? It's the life. But of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So what's God's conduit? It's his word. All right? His word is life. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you gave me the energy to stand again. And Lord, when we've done all we can do to stand, help us, Lord, as your people, just to simply stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.